looking back during those times, we kind of thought we were caught up in a blizzard. This was no blizzard. This was going to be potentially a mini ice age.
Welcome to Season 2 of Inside Virginia's Community Colleges, a podcast that gives you a behind-the-scenes look at Virginia Community College higher education and the initiatives that are helping individuals reach their goals. I'm your host, Steve Mullen. In this season of Inside Virginia's Community Colleges, we're going to investigate how COVID-19 has impacted students and higher education institutions in Virginia. We'll talk to administrators, advisors, and students about the changes they've made in response to the pandemic and how Virginia's community colleges can help Virginians recover as we hit its one-year mark. In March 2020, Virginia began to get an idea of just how serious this pandemic was becoming. Large portions of the country were shutting down or dramatically changing, and higher education institutions like Virginia's community colleges were no exception. Our first guest for this episode was at ground zero of the upheaval that resulted from this pandemic. He is the Chancellor of Virginia's Community Colleges, Dr. Glenn Dubois. Chancellor Dubois, thank you so much for taking the time from your busy schedule to be with us today.
Well, it's good to be with you, Steve.
So let's go back to the beginning. I was actually in a planning meeting for season one of this podcast at VCCS headquarters in mid-March of 2020. And on that very day, colleges around the state started shutting down due to COVID-19. Can you talk us through those early days? How chaotic was it?
Well, it was very chaotic. I mean, we were going to shut down, but then what were we do then? We had to make some decisions really, really quick. One, of course, was pushing all of our students into, you know, remote learning. Now, on the teaching side of our business, we were prepared to do that. Most of our faculty have been teaching online, you know, in their career. And as a sector, well, we've been at the online business for 25 years. So we made that decision quickly. And then we quickly had to make a decision about upcoming kind of obligations like commencement, for example. And then the issue of grading. Once we pushed students into online, we had to make a decision. Well, was it fair to hold students to individual, you know, letter grades or put everybody into a pass-fail? It was very chaotic, but I think we stepped up. We made the decisions quickly that we had to. But what was interesting is I think looking back during those times, we kind of thought we were caught up in a blizzard. And like any blizzard, they stop at some point, right? You know, in our case, you know, this is a kind of it's a bad blizzard. We've never seen anything like it, but it will go away in weeks, maybe in months. And that certainly, as time drifted on, I started to realize this was no blizzard. This was going to be, you know, kind of potentially a mini ice age. So my thinking started to evolve much further than just, you know, the summer. And we are still dealing with this pandemic with the light of, you know, this vaccine light at the end of the tunnel there. But they were certainly chaotic times. And, you know, looking back, we learned a lot.
And once you got through the spring of 2020, which, as you said, was extremely chaotic for everyone, how were Virginia's community colleges able to meet the challenges of COVID-19 going into the summer and then into fall?
Well, to our surprise, our summer enrollment increased noticeably. I didn't predict that would happen, but it certainly did. We were completely online. About this time, we start to notice that there's a major fault line in our country over technology. So, for example, our low-income students did not have access to the broadband that they really needed to be an online learner. Today, you know, with all the video streaming and Zooming, you need to have broadband access. You can't connect to the internet through dial-up or through some kind of technology that's interrupted all the time. So it became very evident that many of our students did not have really reliable access to broadband. So we started to do what we could in those days to, for example, we lit up most of our parking lots. So if you can get to our parking lot in a car with an iPad or a laptop, you had access. And we still are struggling with this broadband issue. I think I think it's kind of shown me that we're at the point where broadband is really has to be seen as a utility. Like in the 40s and the 50s, where electricity was seen as something that was necessary in every household. But, you know, we're not there.
Now, the hope is that things can start to revert back to normal, whatever that is right now, in the 2021-22 school year. What can you tell us about the early planning for the fall semester?
Well, our thinking is it's not going to be the normal as we knew it. We have just simply learned a lot. We've learned that some of the things that we used to do, we shouldn't do anymore. Let me give you an example. Prior to the pandemic, if we needed students to do something with us, they had to come to campus, you know, whether it's to talk to a counselor or fill out a form or to enroll. They had to make a trip to a campus. And we've learned since then that many of those requirements can be done, you know, online or remotely or even, you know, by the phone. We have learned that we were, even in this pandemic, we did very well in providing the services that we needed to provide to our colleges in a complete remote environment. So we learned that not all of our leaders, our staff need to come to a set place every day to do their job. And I think that's going to have an impact on the workplace in the future. And we actually now have a panel of some really smart people looking to what it's going to look like for our staff post-pandemic to fulfill their work requirements. And I don't believe it's going to require them to come to the office every day. They may be able to go through to our satellite locations. And we have 40 major locations around the Commonwealth, so they can work from home, or in what instances do they have to come to the office to do their job? So those are some of the things that we are thinking about as we prepare for kind of, let's say, a post-pandemic. And then I think our business model with students has changed, and it will not go back to the way it was pre-pandemic, where we require students to come to a campus to do just about everything they need to do with us. So those are some of the kinds of interesting things we're pondering about the future.
Final question. Obviously, the pandemic brought a lot of hardship all over the world, but is there anything positive you can take away from this experience from the point of view of Virginia's community colleges?
Well, it was a crisis that forced us to really take a look at our complete teaching and learning model and our business model. And that was probably long overdue. Let me give you an example. For the longest time, we had a policy that if you're going to enroll with us, the first thing you need to do is come to campus and take a math test. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was young, math, I either hated it or I was afraid of it. And the last thing I wanted to do the first time I came to a campus was to take a math test. But the pandemic made us stop that because we were no longer requiring students to come to campus. And we're finding that we're directly placing students in courses without having to take these placement tests. And students they're doing well if we can give them the corresponding help that they need along the way. So I think this pandemic was certainly a crisis. We're still in it, probably at the tail end of it, that has forced us to really examine how we do business, to really examine our relevancy. And I think it also has really opened up and shown the country the fault lines that we have in our society. Not only technology, but access to good medical care. So it's, you know, there have been some benefits. Quite frankly, I'm not sure I want to go through it again. But we've certainly learned a great deal from dealing with this crisis.
Well, as a communications person, I can tell you a math test is always the last thing I feel like doing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Glenn Dubois, Chancellor of Virginia's Community Colleges, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
All right, Steve. Stay safe out there. Bye now.
Our next guest was also a key decision maker at the beginning of the pandemic and beyond. Dr. Sharon Morrissey is the Senior Vice Chancellor for Academics and Workforce Programs for Virginia's Community Colleges. Dr. Morrissey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here today.
So it's clear that Virginia's community colleges have had to pivot quite a bit over the last year, like nearly every organization out there. How have the schools provided solutions for education during a global pandemic?
That's a great question. Our colleges had to pivot really quickly last spring to transition all of our classes to online instruction after Governor Northam declared the state of emergency and closed colleges and universities. And even though the Virginia Community College system already offers a lot of online classes, not everything we offer is online. We do a lot of face-to-face instruction in the VCCS, and particularly for our career technical education workforce type courses. So it really was a challenge. I think that in just a matter of a few weeks, we actually transitioned about 10,000 courses online that were being taught face to face. So it was a big push. We did receive, you know, federal assistance from the CARES Act, through the CARES Act. And I'm tremendously grateful for that, because those funds gave our colleges the opportunity to provide financial assistance to low-income students, which was very helpful to them at that time. But those funds also provided resources for the colleges to do things like buy PPE, develop safety protocols and so forth, but also to provide resources to faculty for professional development and curriculum redesign. So most of our colleges spent some of those funds during the summer helping faculty who had never taught online before learn the fundamentals about teaching online. You can't just take a face-to-face course and throw it into an online environment. It doesn't work that way. So that was a great opportunity with the funding provided by the CARES Act, so that we could then move into fall where most of our courses were online.
Now, a lot of students who are taking classes for workforce development to help them get a better job are older than your typical college age. How have they handled the virtual learning environment that's happened over the last, you know, year or so?
It's been a struggle. And I would say that that's been probably our biggest challenge. So the challenge is twofold. One is, from the faculty member's perspective, is how to deliver hands-on instruction safely, because we're talking about classes here where, you know, you've got programs in healthcare, manufacturing, construction trades, industrial trades, public safety. There are components of those classes that must be taught in a face-to-face, hands-on setting in a laboratory. The other side of the coin is the challenges that working adults have had. Even when they have lost their jobs, the struggles that they're having at home, because there are children in the home who are learning online, parents, the adults have to monitor their children far more than they thought they were going to have to when this whole thing started, I think. So they don't have as much opportunity to do their college work. Many of them have never taken an online class, and it's foreign to them to think about, you know, all I wanted to do was be a welder, and I didn't realize I was going to have to take online classes to learn how to be a welder. But I think our faculty have done a great job of trying to separate out the didactic instruction, put it online, and then have the students come to campus for their hands-on labs. Of course, that has to be done with great attention to safety protocols. It has to be done with smaller class sizes. So some of the faculty have actually had to double up and teach two sections so they can teach all of the students, where traditionally they would have had all of the students in one section. And I think one of the most significant things that we've done as a community college system in terms of helping adult learners access the programs that they need is we have broken down our workforce degree programs into stackable credentials. So what this means is the student who aspires to get a degree in a career technical education program doesn't have to finish the whole degree in order to get a job and go to work. We've put skills training first, so the individual can earn a certificate or a certification, get a job, and then they can continue on the pathway towards completion of the degree, and the degree will lead them into a higher paying job.
And finally, what's your biggest takeaway from this challenging year overall?
So the pandemic completely turned our world upside down, but it also gave us what I would call or describe as a singular opportunity, perhaps, to examine our traditional policies and practices, rethink how we deliver our programs, how we align our programs to meet the needs of students and employers. Last spring, when all of this was just starting to happen, and you know, I want to remind us that we originally thought that we were going to be closed for 2 weeks, right? So it's just had a huge impact. Last spring, the chancellor appointed a task force and charged the task force to make recommendations for how the VCCS will emerge from the pandemic. I co-chaired this group, and as soon as we started meeting, we quickly realized that we would never go back to business as usual. But then another crisis also is emerged in addition to the pandemic, and that's the crisis of systemic racism and social injustice that has created barriers for so many Black people in America. So after George Floyd was killed on March the 25th, the chancellor directed the task force that was working on what's our post-pandemic world going to look like. He said, now I want you to also think about what a new equity-focused Virginia Community College system would look like. And he charged us with developing a new strategic plan for the system that was based on equity. So this task force spent 6 months. We started in August. We spent 6 months looking at disaggregated data, gathering input from stakeholders all across Virginia, and developed a strategic plan that's aimed at achieving equity in student access, learning outcomes, and success for all VCCS students, regardless of race, ethnicity, gender, or socioeconomic status. This is a 6-year plan. It has goals and strategies that are intended to address the impact of systemic racism on student achievement across our colleges. So our goal, our big goal, is to close equity gaps and expand access to opportunity for all Virginians. So I guess that's my big takeaway, is that this is a sea change moment for Virginia's community colleges. We have an opportunity to emerge from the pandemic with a more equity-focused, student-centered mindset. And I think it's possible. I think the system is ready for this. And I can tell you that in my 34 years in community colleges, this is the most important work that I have ever done.
All right, Dr. Sharon Morrissey, Senior Vice Chancellor for Academics and Workforce Programs, thanks so much for being here today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks to both of our guests for this episode of Season 2 of Inside Virginia's Community Colleges. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and elsewhere so you don't miss the next episode. Thanks for listening to Inside Virginia's Community Colleges. I'm Steve Mullen.